This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield with a couple of our favorite sports stories from past shows. 85 years ago this weekend, the first big league game ever broadcast was carried by radio station KDKA in Pittsburgh. Wes Westrum, the light-hitting catcher for the old New York Giants, once said, "Baseball is like a church. Many attend, few understand." And some of the crankier longtime fans recoil at what they see as the superficial coverage provided by television, where they say gimmicks overshadow the action on the field. On the Media's Rex Doan calls the contest between TV and radio play-by-play.
"Hi, neighbors. The Brewers of famous Narragansett Ale and Lager Beer present Big League Baseball. Today's game at Briggs Stadium in Detroit, between the Detroit Tigers and the Chicago White Sox, will come to you by telegraphic recreation."
Recreations of baseball games on radio, like this one from 1950, may today seem like a charming, if somewhat naive, antiquity. What is truly remarkable, however, are the similarities in play-by-play style over the past several decades. Back when professional football and basketball were in their infancy, Major League Baseball was broadcast to millions of faithful listeners then as now. For Hall of Fame announcer Ernie Harwell, little has changed.
"I think the style of radio broadcasters is pretty much the same as it was when I began back in the mid-40s. TV, of course, is a lot different because of the progress of technology. When we first started on TV, it was very basic, and most of the TV announcers or radio announcers are talking behind a picture. Now you've got replays and so many gimmicks that it's changed the technique."
For Sports Illustrated senior writer Steve Rushen, it's the continuity that play-by-play on radio has with its past that is a large part of its appeal.
"It's not simply vivid description from the better play-by-play people, but oftentimes, much more so than they do on TV, they let the action, or in the case of baseball, often the inaction, speak for itself. I'd like nothing more than the pauses they have on the radio where you can just hear the crowd noise in the background, maybe the sound, the crack of the bat, or the pop of a catcher's mitt."
"Curve is low inside, ball two. 2-0.
For baseball purists like Rushen, the unfettered presentation of the game is a premium.
"I think it's interesting that but the first broadcast was in 1921, and there have been 80 years of technology since then. And television, you went from basically the invention of television to today's flat screen, plasma projection, stereophonic, surround sound TVs, tricked out with all of the graphics you see on a Fox broadcast, the catcher cam and the quick cuts and the score constantly running at the bottom of the screen. It seems to have not so much added anything as it has detracted or distracted viewers from seeing the game. And I think that radio, which has changed hardly at all in many ways since 1921, is still the best way to, quote, see a baseball game."
But not everyone is ready to toss out their TV remote. For Charlie Pierce, a writer-at-large for Esquire magazine, baseball on TV is not inherently evil.
"You know, there's a great line from the play A Man for All Seasons where somebody says something in Latin and another person says, "How long will we hear this sacred language?" And Thomas More very mildly turns to him and says, "It isn't sacred, it's just old." I think that baseball has never quite gotten the distinction between those things that are sacred and those things that are just old.
Rich Sandomir, who covers sports broadcasting for the New York Times, can appreciate the living history of radio play-by-play, but he also sees the merits of the televised games as well.
"On television, you can use the tools, the best tools and best graphics, to analyze where the strike zone, ESPN's strike zone graphic is a good example of something you can't do on radio. Is it a departure from traditional play-by-play? Yeah, sure it is, but I think done well, it's an enhancement."
But as Charlie Pierce suggests, whether listening to baseball play-by-play on the radio is the best way to appreciate the game isn't the important issue here. Having survived 80 years in a fickle and increasingly restrictive commercial broadcast environment, baseball play-by-play may now in fact be the best way to appreciate radio, a savior of the medium and not just the sport.
"When it comes right down to it, baseball play-by-play is really the only place for original broadcasting left on the AM dial. The music, if what music there is all programmed. The talk radio is largely all syndication. Baseball play-by-play is still the only place where you have any freedom to run at all, basically because you are doing essentially live drama.
New baseball thrown into play. Kenny Boyer would be next. One ball, no strikes. Musial the hitter. There's Padres getting ready. Now the pitch. Boyer's ball! Boyer's back!
For On the Media in New York, I'm Rex Doan.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.